Thank you, Lord. One of them songs, well, all them songs touch me, really. One in particular, it says, "Come as you are." And he said to me, a month or so ago, maybe a bit more even, "Clive, would you like to come and share a message on unity of churches?" It follows on from the theme of what we've been talking about over last week, what Andy's bringing to us. And Andy knows my heart, so yeah, I was the ideal person for it. Great. Yeah, that's my passion, unity of churches, bringing churches together and all coming together as one body. Yes, Andy, I'll do that, certainly. And then the reality hit me as I started to go into Scripture that actually this isn't quite as easy as it sounds. We've covered all of the stuff about the body and how we're the body and all this, and Andy's brought us in and talked about us as a church and how we need to be together, and that's all right and all correct. But when we talk about unity of church, we start to get a little bit fuzzy and a little bit, what's going on? Because we don't really see it that much. So as all good preachers I'd imagine do, I went into the Word and I sat there and I started to write things down. Is that tight enough, Andy? No, no. And thought, right, okay, I got something. Went back to it. Oh no, this is terrible. This doesn't make sense. It's all over the place. I'll have another go. Yeah, sorted. No problem. Went back to it. This is, what am I doing? I've had all this scripture. I've got all the right words. I've got what God says. I've got what the Bible says here and everything else. But it just didn't feel right. And I struggled because Andy was on the back as well, rightly so. Clive, tell me what them scriptures are you're going to be using, because I don't want to be giving your message. I want to know what scripture. Yeah, okay, Andy. So I go away. I think about it. I don't know. Lord, I don't know what scriptures to use because I'm different. You know, I'm not Andy and I'm not someone else. I'm not Jackie. The way my crazy brain works is that I deal with something when it comes into my face and then I take it forward and go with it. So if someone says to me, sort this out, I'll sort it out, but it'll be 3 days before it needs to be sorted out. Lots of people don't like that. My wife doesn't like that. Her message to me was, whatever you talk about, please make sense. Don't jump all over the place.
That's a wife thing.
I'm sorry, I'm going to jump all over the place. Because it says in that song, come as you are. And this is who I am. So I'm going to try and bring this message to you. I believe that it's a message that is needed. I believe it can challenge us. And sometimes we can rise to the challenge or we can push the challenge away and say, I don't want to hear that. That's not what I want to hear. Why are you telling me that? But we have to deal with them things as well. So I do apologise if I go off on little tangents, but I'm sure I might. I want to start off with what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 14 and 16. For he himself, and obviously here we are talking, Paul is talking about the connection between the Jews and the Gentiles. Obviously, we're including the Gentiles. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, that's the Gentiles and the Jews, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man, one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. Bit of a funny scripture to start with, but unfortunately we're in this place at the moment, especially in the Western world, where the churches, and I'll use that little symbol there, struggle to connect the way we should do as a body. I could sit here, as I said, I could sit here and quote lots of scripture about what the scriptures say about church. Matthew 16:18, Matthew 18:17 talk about the church. There are over 10 mentions of the church alone in Acts. I could quote scripture on how we are one, for example, Romans 12:5 or Galatians 3:28. and how we are the bride of Christ in John 3:29. And again, the bride is talked about several times in Revelation as well. But what I really want to touch on today is this word church. And I'm sure many of you have heard different things about this and how we use the word church. But I want to look at the word from where we got it. We got it from the Greek, okay? And what I want to do quickly, I've actually answered one of my questions here. I want to have a little quiz, okay? So we're going to go ladies against men. And my first question was for the ladies, but I think I've just answered that. But anyway, what I was going to ask first was what language is our version of the New Testament written in? So obviously, ladies, it's written in?
Greek.
Thank you, my wife. Such a poor one. So the ladies are one up in the quiz. Okay, next question for the men. Right. What is the Greek word? Andy, you can just wait on that one, please. What is the Greek word? Andrew, Mike. What is the Greek word for church?
Ecclesia.
Okay, ecclesia. Okay, so one each. Next question to the ladies. To the nearest 10 or 20, how many times is the word church or ecclesia found in the New Testament? Could be a bonus thrown over here. Anyone like a guess? Right, so if I was saying for the nearest 10 or 20 and you said 20, I think that's cheating a bit, isn't it? Any more? It's higher. It's a lot higher than 20. 100. Yeah, that's nearly what, when you do one of these search things, it comes up as 144 times that the word ecclesia is mentioned in the word. Ladies, I can only give you half a mark for that. I'm sorry. I'm quite a ruthless taskmaster, as you see. Right, so last question to the men then. The same word ecclesia is used for two other words in the New Testament. What are they? No. Okay, ladies, you can join in to gain that half a point back. Okay. Right, in some translations it is, yeah. It's, but the words that are found are assembly and congregation. Okay, the two words, assembly and congregation. Now, I don't want to go into too much teaching mode, but the peculiarity with Greek is you have a root word and then the root word is expanded. So often people go back into the root word and say, well, this word can actually mean this and this and this. With ecclesia, there is no root that comes from and then divides up into different things. So when it talks about congregation, when it talks about assembly, and when it says the word church, it's the same word, exactly the same word. So when we talk of the church, we need to talk about the assembly of people. We need to talk about the congregation. So as a local church, we are part of that assembly of God. Okay, we are not the assembly of God. We are not individual. We are part of the wider thing. The word in the Bible, it states that the assembly, that can talk about non-Christians as well as Christians. And that we see that in Acts 19:32. It also deals with the believers. And that's in Ephesians 5:23, 5:25 and 5:27, and a few others. It talks about church being a house church in Romans 16:5. It talks about church as a location, the church of Jerusalem, the church of Ephesus, and stuff like that. And it also talks about the church being the whole church across the world, everybody in the world. So it's not just the same word, same thing. It's all of them things in one. So the only way I could sort of, and I said to Michelle at the time, so the only way I think I can bring a message about the unity of church is to talk about my own experiences, because I've gone through this experience of thinking, what is the unity of church and what does it mean? And I've come out at the other end and I'm still on a journey. So I've not got it right, but I just want to share with you the journey I've come on with that. When I first started to go to church, I used to attend two churches. I used to attend a church in the morning and I used to attend a church in the afternoon. Probably like most of you experience, I think most of you here are, you know, Christians, and they've been Christians for a long time. And you tend to get that real, wow, oh, this is fantastic. You know, God is real. Shout it out to the world. And I wanted to get as much as I could. I wanted to be fed with as much as I could. So I found two churches and I went to these two churches. Unfortunately, the church in the afternoon decided it wanted to move to a morning slot. And there was lots of conversations. The people of the church come to me and said, oh, would you mind coming with us to this morning slot? Would you be interested in being part of the leadership team and all this? I'm like, oh, yeah. But I'd already committed to another church. I'd already put my roots down in another church. And I didn't feel it was the right thing to do to just up my sticks and go, because I think God had put me where he had. In my naivety, I thought that the relationships and everything I'd made with both churches would be maintained. I thought that I would have fellowship with all these people that I'd already had fellowship with. But that just seemed to disappear. It just seemed to fade away. It wasn't done. It's not what you do. You don't mix with other churches. You don't say, well, I've gone to this church and I like these people. You make the family the unity of the church you're in, which is correct. But what we seem to do is forget about the relationships we've made with other people. So I started to question that, and I went into the Word, and I was looking at the Word, and I was reading it, I was thinking, what do you say, Lord, about this? What are we trying to do? What should we be doing? And I saw clearly in Scripture that we are called as one body. You know, I'm sure many of you have heard many talks and preaches about we are one body. We are one in Christ. All of us, all Christians are one in Christ. And yet churches didn't seem to show that. So I spent lots of time in prayer, and all the prayer meetings I used to go to, I always would come up with, oh Lord, we need to come together as a church. Lord, bring churches together. And in my mindset, I was thinking, we're going to end up with this one church under this giant roof, and we're going to praise the Lord, and God's going to say thank you, and Jesus is going to return, and yeah, everything will be rosy. And the more I prayed, the more I went into it, I was getting more and more frustrated, thinking, why is this not happening? I don't understand. And this idea of all coming under one roof was like, oh, you know, I was thinking, that's got to be right. But then I was thinking, how wrong can I be in thinking I'm right? Which we all do. Yes, I'm right. As a side throwaway this morning, I was sitting out the chairs and I put all the chairs out and I closed off the end rows. And I thought, right, that's going to stop people spreading out across the chairs. They're all going to have to sit forward and they're all going to be nice and cuddly up. We're not going to have to get any more chairs out. And happy days. Yeah, I was. So anyway, walked back in and someone had moved them. Someone had put them back where they were. And it all rose up, it all bubbled up in me. God, who's done that? I've just set them out. Who do they think they are moving them chairs? So after I found out and I had a chat and I was, you move my chairs. Oh, you. I put them there. I'm the chair putter outer. Yeah. How dare you move my chairs? And then I felt this thing welling up inside me, I thought, whoa, get in the prayer room quickly. You need to get in that prayer room. You're meant to be talking about unity today, and here you are welling up about these chairs. So anyway, got in the prayer room, and then Susan came in, and she was talking, and she started to pray and talked about peace and where the peace is found. You know, we find peace in God. And then I realised, you know, this person had a very valid point about why they moved the chairs. You know, who am I to get all uppity and frustrated about what people are doing in my chairs? So, you know, sometimes the unity works in different ways. Now, unity with people is good because you have to bounce off each other. I think someone said this morning, I think you might have mentioned it, Andy, that iron sharpens iron. You know, we need to just be aware of these things that, you know, sometimes we think we're right, but we're wrong. So anyway, going back to my travel journey through the churches and the unity of church. Me and Michelle, we've been blessed. We've got friends all over the world. We've got friends in different congregations, different outreaches of church. We've got missionaries, friends. We've got people just about in every sort of walk of church you can find. And we listen to them people, and we receive for them people, and hopefully sometimes we give to them people. But what really struck me within this whole thing, and it blessed me so much, was that I realised that our walk, our relationship with Christ, especially for me, it's a picture that's going to be painted in its fullness when we come face to face with Christ. We're going to see that picture in its fullness. But now, there's bits missing. And I've always said it's like a jigsaw puzzle. So when I hear a preach, when I read a devotional from Heidi Baker, or when I sit down with friends and pray, sometimes these pieces drop in. When Andy's preaching, when Jackie's up here talking, or Phil, or anybody else, sometimes you get these little pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that you fit into your picture. So if we look at the church as a whole, then we need to realise that the bits of the jigsaw puzzle are not all going to come from Grace Community Church. I'm sorry, Andy. Exactly, I knew you would. Because that's not what it's about. This is not the body of Christ. Unity of churches means that you can gain bits of these jigsaw puzzles. I'm sure many of you look at God TV or listen to preachers from other people, and you get these little pieces. Oh, wow, a corner piece. Yes! And that's what the unity of church is about. So as I started to go and look at this, I started to think, wow, I've got it right. I am right. Unity of church is important. We are the bride of Christ. Christ is not going to come back unless we are the completed article, unless we are clothed, unless we are whole, all the bits are there. He's not going to come back to a group of virgins who hope that one day they will be picked as the bride of Christ. That's not how it's going to work. But what God's revealed more and more to me, it's not about this all-encompassing umbrella of a church that we're all going to come under. I've come to realise more and more that the unity of church comes from you guys connecting with other things, with getting them pieces of your jigsaw puzzle and putting them together. So you can bless others. Others are going to need to see what you've got in you to create the fullness in them. The word says, doesn't it, about the body. For the body does not consist of one member. Sorry, no, just one. I don't know if you was putting them up, but 1 Corinthians 12:14 to 15. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And then it goes on to talk about other parts of the body, about the eye and stuff like that. So that made me think, how many Christians are there in this world? Anybody have a guess?
More than 20.
There's more than 20? Yeah. Thank you, AJ. Yeah, the all the counts I could find were around 2010, and within that, from that period of time, there's been an explosion in China. So they're talking about sort of hundreds of thousands of people adding to the number. It was 2.2 billion Christians across the world. 2.2 billion Christians in the world. So let's go back to the fact that we are all the body. So out of the 2 billion Christians in the world, can we, as this community here, as this assembly here, can we say that we are the leg? 2 billion. So probably not the leg, are we? Probably not. Yeah, as I say, are we the arm? Are we the hand? Are we the hair? Are we a single hair on the head? Out of 2 billion, this assembly? Probably not the hair on the head. Michelle, how many cells have we got in the body? Do you think we've got 2 billion cells in the body? Yeah, so there we go. So probably then, we are a cell that creates a tiny part of something that's bigger, that creates a tiny part of the now, the finger, the hand, the arm, the body. So when we talk about the body, we shouldn't get wrapped up thinking, I'm the hand, I'm the legs. Because we are just a tiny bit and we need all of the body to come together to create that bride that Christ is waiting for. So, as I was saying, that led me to this place where I thought, right, okay, if people are the body, how does that work? How does it work with the church? And I went for a period of time where I was doubting what the church was. I was saying, well, the church isn't right. It's not the place to be. You know, we need to get out there and we need to join with people and connect with people. But God soon put his finger on that and said, no. The church is where you need to be. The church is where you need to be because the church is there for the purpose of fellowship, the church of family, the purpose of being together is what the church is for. We come here to corporately worship the Lord. So there's a big need for church. But where I see that we're missing out is, as I've just said, that no church has got it right. Where we're missing out is if we push other churches aside, if we don't try and find out what's happening, if we don't create community with the churches in our area. So I think that's a challenge. I think that's a challenge to all of us. I mean, me and Andy talk about it often, about how we need to bring this community spirit together and how, you know, churches need to come together. But it's so hard, and it's not for us to expect people like Andy to do it. Because you can't. You can't lay another great thing on his shoulders. Say, like, bring the churches together, Andy. Next week, Andy, can you please bring the churches together? That's not going to happen, is it? It's about us connecting and not losing connections. You know, when we make connections, you know, we are, as much as it pains to say, we are in a church that's had a divide where many of you have lost people who you trusted and you loved and were part of this assembly. And I'd ask that question, are you still in contact with them people? Are you still supporting them? And if you are, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And if you're not, then maybe we need to step out and just get back and say, how are you doing? What are you doing? Because we need to stay together. We need to bring the body together. You can see my notes. It's quite hard to follow them, isn't it? If you look very closely. That's why I'm struggling at the moment. So I want to go back to Ecclesia anyway, what I said about Ecclesia. And what I want to sort of... I haven't spoke for that long, have I? But that's not a problem. I want to talk about how this word doesn't change. Okay, I've talked about how it doesn't change in the Greek, but also that whatever the context this word ecclesia is used in, it's always a coming together of people. In the main, it's a coming together of believers. The word church is not a word of isolation. Again, if I go back to my prayer time, especially at the church I used to be in, I would yell out and scream out, Lord, break down these walls, open these doors. Because as soon as we become isolated, we will just close in and close in and close in. And we need to let the walls fall down so people can see us and we can get out to the world. Andy's been sharing on how we are individual members of this assembly and we all have a part to play in making this place a place to reveal God to each other and to those who come in. And that's not by works, that's from the overflow of our relationship with Jesus. In John 17:11, it says, and I, this is Jesus talking, he's praying actually for us. You know, the Son of God is praying for us. Sometimes we're praying out, oh Lord, this and this, but you know, Jesus spent time and he stopped and he prayed for us. You know, the Son of God who came to set us free from our sins prayed for us. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And it goes on to say later, the glory that you have given me, I have given to you. Oh, sorry, I've given to them, that they may be one as we are one. As I said right at the start, Andy knows my passion is to see churches come together. I've come to the conclusion that churches come together through us. I'm party to meetings which Tom's been to at McDonald's in the mornings, just talking to some guys, just to bring people together. And that's been such a blessing. Such a blessing that you see things broken in people because they've got an environment where they can come together and just discuss. We've been to fellowship evenings, the old church I went to, and there's been people from the Baptist church, the Methodist church, here, Christian Fellowship in Kingsland, coming together and sharing and being part of the body. It's a blessing. It's not to take anything away from this. This is our church. This is our foundation. But we need to experience the church as a whole. I did have some more to say, but I think I'd rather just pray, if that's all right. So, just close your eyes and do whatever you do when you normally pray. And I just want to see what the Lord said. I really felt a sense this morning that I was, out of the three or four times I've been up here, I was so worried about talking today. I was so worried, and then I realise that it's all about the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about what I say, because I want to believe and I want to pray now that, Lord God, that you open up our ears, my ears, this assembly's ears, to your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord God, that we may receive all that you've given us, that we may be grateful for the places that you've put us in, that we can respond to those around us, that we can show your light in all the darkness that surrounds us. And Lord God, as we pray now for the unity of church, Lord, we want to pray for opportunity in our lives to gain more of you through the body. Lord, that we may become one, your bride, your holy bride, perfect, Lord, for you to return to this place. I thank you for these people in this place today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as we come together as a relatively new community of people, Lord God, that you bind us together with your Spirit. Lord, that you lead us into places where we'll find the fullness of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My best friend too. Your mum. My mum is baptised in a church. I'm not even sure what it is. I think it's a joint venture between the United Reformed, the Methodist,